Then what are we going to do? Thomas asked. He held a large pistol in his left hand, his falcata in his right, and stood at my back, facing the darkness behind us. Stand here until they swarm us? We're going to show them how much it will cost to take us down, I said. How's it coming, Padawan? Molly let out a slow, thoughtful breath. Then she lifted one pale hand, rotated an extended finger in a circle around us, and murmured, Hiraki. I felt the subtle surge of her will wash out, and drew in my own as it did. The word my apprentice whispered seemed to flow out from her in an enormous circle, leaving visible signs of its passing. It fluttered leaves and blades of grass, stirred small stones, and as it continued, it washed over several shapes out in the night that rippled and became solid black outlines where before there was only indistinct darkness and shadow. Not all that skilled, Molly said, panting, satisfaction in her voice.
Fuego!
I snarled and threw a small comet of fire from my right hand. It sailed forth with a howling whistle of superheated air and smashed into the nearest of the shadowed forms, less than a dozen yards away. Fire leapt up, and a vampire screamed in rage and pain and began retreating through the trees.
Infriga!
I snarled and made a ripping gesture with my left hand. I tore the fire from the stricken vampire, and then some. I sent the resulting fireball skipping over to the next form, and left the first target as a block of ice where the damp jungle air had emptied its water over the vampire's body and locked it into place, rigid and very slightly luminous with the residue of the cold energy I felt in me, the gift of Queen Mab. Which was just as well. There were a dozen closing attackers in my immediate field of vision alone, which meant another 50 or 60 of them if they were closing from all around us, plus the ones I couldn't see, who may have employed more mundane techniques of stealth to avoid the eye. I wanted them to see what I could do. The second vampire fell as easily as the first, as did the third, and only then did I say quietly, "One bullet each, Martin." Martin's silenced pistol coughed three times, and the slightly glowing forms of the ice-enclosed vampires shattered into several dozen pieces each, falling to the ground where the luminous energy of winter began to bleed slowly away along with the ice-riddled flesh. They got the point. The vampires stopped advancing. The jungle became still.
Fire and ice, murmured the Lenanshi. Excellent, my godson. Anyone can play with an element. Few can manipulate opposites with such ease.
Sort of the idea, I said. Back me up.
Of course, Leah said.
I stepped forward and slightly apart from the others and lifted my hands.
Ariana!
I shouted, and my voice boomed as though I'd been holding a microphone and using speakers the size of refrigerators. It was something of a surprise, and I looked over my shoulder to see my godmother smiling calmly.
Ariana!
I called again.
You were too great a coward to accept my challenge when I gave it to you in Edinburgh. Now I'm here, in the heart of the power of the Red King. Do you still fear to face me, coward?
What? Thomas muttered under his breath.
This is not an assault, Sonya added, disapproval in his voice.
I ignored them. I was the one with the big voice.
You see what I have done to your rabble?
I called.
How many more must die before you come out from behind them, Duchess? I am come to kill you and claim my child. Stand forth, or I swear to you, upon the power in my body and mind, that I will lay waste to your strong place. Before I die, I will make you pay the price for every drop of blood. And when I die, my death curse will scatter the power of this place to the winds. Ariana!
I bellowed. And I could not stop the hatred from making my voice sharply edged with scorn and spite.
How many loyal servants of the Red King must die tonight? How many lords of outer night will taste mortality before the sun rises? You have only begun to know the power I bring with me this night. For though I die, I swear to you this, I will not fall alone.
I indulged in a little bit of melodrama at that point. I brought forth soul fire, enough to sheathe my body in silver light.
as my oath rolled out over the land through the ruins and bounced from tree to tree. It cast a harsh light that the nearest surviving vampires cringed away from. For a long moment, there was no sound. Then the drums and the occasional clash of the gong stopped. A conch shell horn, the sound unmistakable, blew three high, sweet notes. The effect was immediate. The vampires surrounding us all retreated until they were out of sight. Then a drumbeat began again, this time from a single drummer.
"What's happening?" Thomas asked.
"The Red King's agent spent the last couple of days trying to kill me or make sure I showed up here only as a vampire," I said quietly. "I'm pretty sure it's because the king didn't want the Duchess pulling off her bloodline curse against me, which means that there's a power play going on inside the Red Court."
"Your explanation isn't one," Thomas replied.
"Now that I am here," I said, "I'm betting that the Red King is going to be willing to attempt other means of undercutting the Duchess."
"You don't even know he's here."
"Of course he is," I said. "There's a sizable force here, as large as any we've ever seen take the field during the war."
"What if it isn't his army? What if he's not here to run it?" Thomas asked.
"History suggests that kings who don't exercise direct control over their armies don't tend to remain kings for very long, which must be, ultimately, what this is all about, diminishing Ariana's power."
"And talking to you does that, Hal?"
"The Code Duello," I said. "The Red Court signed the accords. For what Ariana has done, I have the right to challenge her. If I kill her, I get rid of the Red King's problem for him."